Welcome to the Jimmy and Nate podcast. We hope this wasn't a mistake. If it was, please stay. And remember, you can listen to the podcast whilst you're...
Pow!
No!
Pow!
Pow!
Why are you doing that?
I tried it. Yeah, you'll hear it on the podcast.
Oh, that make it, does it?
Yeah. Mate.
Didn't think it was going to. That's
all right. I pick. Jim has the power.
But Grace edits.
Yeah.
She does. I hate it. I listen to the podcast. Actually, you know what? The funniest thing is when I don't put gossip in, I listen to the podcast because I do. Love myself. And I'm like, oh, gossip.
Sometimes gossip sneaks in there. Not often. But sometimes.
I know, Nath, you don't listen
to
the podcast. But Grace puts in like a gossip, we'd consider gossip funny when it goes completely off the rails.
Mm.
She'll put a gossip in when it's like.
Oh, just a straight gossip.
Like when it's like kind of factual.
Like a delivering of facts. Yeah.
People that listen to exclusively the podcast need to know that I am actually good at delivering gossip sometimes.
No, they don't.
And.
They do.
They don't need it. Why do they need to know that?
Because I want them to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, I might not circle a break, but it's pretty Grace heavy. You know, when we bring her in and we like tell a story, they make them.
Old heavy Grace. Yeah.
Not all the time, but sometimes. It's good. I'm using my producer brain and going, this is a good break.
I can't remember what it was, but there was a break you put in and it was, Nath, I'll be honest with you, you and I not on.
No.
It's like early.
Early on.
Yeah, like early in the show, like at 6 a.m. Yeah. We're a bit tired. You and I just doing the
sometimes it
back
takes,
and forward.
Takes a little bit of warm up.
Yeah. And then we throw to producer Grace about something at the end, and she was very funny. Like got the out. So you got to sit through about 3 to 5 minutes of nothing to get. And that made
But it's worth it.
To
and
show
you,
people.
You'll put it in
Because you want
there.
People to see that you're funny.
Yes.
Do you want funny or straight facts? What do you want?
I want a mixture. I want a balance. Because I am. I'm a little bit of everything.
I tell you what you should do, a spin-off Producer Grace podcast. You
know what I mean? Like an exclusive once a week.
Yeah. Kind of like a Better Call Saul or like Young Sheldon. You know? Like a spin-off from the original sitcom.
Oh,
that's what
you
should
do. But they never do as well.
Frasier.
Frasier. Yeah.
Or,
a spin-off.
Friends a spin-off of Mad About You?
People who wrote Mad About You wrote Friends, and the character of Phoebe was too close to Ursula, so they went...
That's not a spin-off, though. A spin-off is using the same character.
Yeah, but...
Ursula's in Friends.
Oh, right, okay.
Could I be anymore?
I mean, Joey was a spin-off of Friends.
Oh, Joey was so bad.
You know, I saw a tweet...
Frasier's probably the only, like, big example of something that goes, wow.
Successful.
Like, but I'm talking really successful. Frasier was huge.
Oh, but if you hear the blues are calling, toss salads and scrambled eggs. Well, baby, I seem a bit confused, but I got you pegged.
Maybe I hear the blues are calling.
No, this is
salad and scrambled.
I don't know why this is the only version we have of the system.
That's all we've got.
Maybe I seem a bit confused, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
We're talking again.
See, this is
the wrong one.
Bitter.
Good night, San Diego.
I don't think it's San Diego.
That's Anchorman.
Oh, is it?
You, San Diego.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You pick that out.
Yeah.
Enjoy the
podcast.
Can't wait to see what Grace makes it today.
The Hit Breakfast Show with Jimmy and
Nate. Oh, that's the way, Hobart. Wednesday, happy middle of the week. Welcome to the centerpiece, Jimmy. And as we know, it is all downhill from here. And today, get this, is the only show we will do this week from the Jimmy and Nate studio. That's the only show this week.
Yeah.
Of course, we're in Launceston Monday for the WBBL. And yesterday, we were live from Kingston Beach for King of the Sandcastles in the studio today. And then Thursday, Friday, we're in Flinders Island for one reason and one reason only. And that is to find the Night Mouse.
We're going to find you.
Going to find the Night Mouse, mate.
If you don't know what we're talking about, listen a little bit later. Maybe just before 6:30.
Yeah.
Some updates about
little
the
tease. Here's a little tease for
little
you.
Tease.
Yeah.
Bit on.
Bit on for
bit
the
on.
Boys.
We were in Lonnie last weekend, and then we did the show from Lonnie Monday because the WBBL, disappointing our girls, lost. Our Hurricanes lost last night.
Yeah, down to the heat, didn't they?
Yeah. No, it's just it was not the better team.
That was way too hot.
The temperature.
I thought they were wearing 3 jumpers each, and it's very hard to bowl.
Strange, it was 30 degrees in Launceston. But our King of the Sandcastle yesterday, which was a lot of fun. You can see all that still on our Instagram at Jimmy and Nate.
Absolutely. Go and check it out. Some phenomenal sandcastles. They only had 5 minutes. 5 minutes to build these sandcastles. God, that were impressive. I'll be honest, I thought we were going to get some rubbish.
I did, but they were really, really good. And then, as you said, yeah, heading to Flinders, which we're really excited about. We did King Island a little bit earlier this year, going to Flinders. And then on the weekend, we got the Stay Chatty Ball.
Stay Chatty Ball,
it doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
The Jimmy and A show, everything.
The cogs keep turning, mate.
They pow! What was that? Pow!
What do you don't do that. What do you pow?
Pass!
Is that us?
Could that be my thing? Every time we're doing something, pow!
Yeah, that or the whistle. Which one do you want?
I can't let go of the whistle.
Yeah.
Producer Grace, pow!
What do you think about pow?
I don't like the pow.
You don't like the pow?
It's too aggressive.
I'll be honest, I like most things he does, but I don't like the pow.
Don't like that.
Okay.
Yeah. You try and things.
Try,
you know,
you list the stuff we've done and then I'll...
Yeah.
So like you go, we've been up it.
We've been in Launceston.
Pow!
We've been on Kingston Beach.
Pow!
We're going to Flinders Island.
Pow!
We're going to stop doing this.
It's actually, I need to stop. It's hurting.
You're going to pull something. We don't want injuries. You won't be coming to Flinders.
Nathan, today we're flying over to Flinders Island.
We certainly are.
Very exciting. This has all happened because, look, for a long time we've wanted to go to Flinders. We went to King Island. We thought it was only a matter of time until we went to the other big island at the top of the island.
But you always need a reason.
Yeah, you need a reason.
You need a reason.
And you discovered that Nightmouse has been rediscovered.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? The
the New Holland mouse, or New Holland rodent, essentially. But we've called it the Nightmouse.
Better name.
17 years. 17 years.
They thought it was extinct.
Yeah.
Producer Grace joins in the studio. Producer Grace, you love these types of stories, don't you?
I do. I love Australian animals a lot. I don't know why. And I love animals that are thought to be extinct and then not extinct.
Yeah, this is right up your alley.
Yes.
Doesn't happen a lot, I imagine.
No, not heaps.
You don't see a woolly mammoth being spotted.
A dodo on Maria Island.
Now, look, we did ask you earlier in the week to try and get us a scientist or someone to chat about this Nightmouse.
Yes. I did have a bit of a look into that. I didn't come up with anything, but I did do enough research that I reckon I could be qualified as an expert.
An expert in what?
The New Holland mouse. Nightmouse.
All right, here's.
Here we go. All right, so
okay.
It was first described by a British naturalist. His name was George Waterhouse in 1843. It then vanished from view for over a century before its rediscovery in Ku'ring'i Chase National Park, which is north of Sydney, in 1967. So almost a century they thought it was fully extinct.
Wow.
They've since found it across Southeast Asia. Australia, I mean.
I was about to say, has it gone island hopping?
Within the states of New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria and Tasmania. However, it hasn't been seen in Tasmania for the last 17 years until it was spotted on Flinders Island recently.
Wow.
So it's not fully... They didn't think it was fully extinct just in Tasmania.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yep. So its body length is roughly 65 to 90 millimetres. So I did a bit of measuring. That's about the length of my index finger.
Okay, index. So it's quite small. Quite small than a tiny little.
It's been described as a dumpling with legs.
Okay.
So I love it even more.
That's very good. Cute little mouse. It doesn't have that kind of typical mousy odour. And it has. So that's how you distinguish it from the regular house mouse.
Do you have to smell it?
Yes. And also it has slightly bigger eyes. Bigger eyes.
Also
than the
probably why
house
it's
mouse.
So difficult to find. Because it's so small.
And it's nocturnal. That's why it's a nightmouse, yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's omnivorous, which means it eats plant-based and meat-based. It mostly eats little seeds that it spends most of its time during the night foraging for, but it also consumes leaves, fungi, and small invertebrates.
Oh, okay.
What's a small invertebrate?
Like a little lizard or a little insect. Oh. Yeah,
okay,
tasty.
Tasty little lizard.
Centipede, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Those kind of things.
Yep.
Brain went to centipede. Like a centipede.
Like a little centipede. A little.
So as of 2021, the New Holland mouse, or the night mouse, is listed as a vulnerable species due to its population size, which is estimated at about 8,000, which is not that many when you think about how many just mice there are.
That's not many, is it?
That's a big number.
8,000 mice.
I thought it was going to be like 800. I'm like, wow. 8,000.
Because they're so small, like you could fit 8,000 in the trunk of your car. It's like 8,000 dumplings.
Sounds like a challenge.
That's why we're going over there.
We have
there
to find every New Holland mouse
fitted in our car.
Would you like to know what its threats are?
I would love to know its predators.
Land development. So people over developing land.
Humans.
Houses. Yeah. You know what they say, houses beat mouses.
Invasive weeds and fungus, which is damaging its food that it eats.
Invasive weeds.
Inappropriate management of fire, like too much burning or too little burning.
These all sound like
it's weakness. It's a Pokemon. Its weakness is fire.
It's a water mouse.
predators. Predators are a threat to it. The introduction of the red fox and feral cats especially, they like to eat them.
Once again, cats.
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 Yeah. Nothing good about them.
Nothing good about them, mate. This is like real-life Tom and Jerry, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And some sad facts. There are 24 birds, 7 frogs, and 27 mammal species or subspecies strongly believed to have become extinct in Australia since the arrival of the first European colonists, which is only like 233 years ago. So heaps of animals in Australia have gone extinct.
Well, not that's just, got nothing to do with the knot.
No, I know. It's just a sad fact that I came across.
Did you go
in
a rabbit hole yesterday?
I went on a real deep dive.
Rabbit hole or a nut mouse hole? What do you think? Well done, Grace. Well, you know, massive round of applause. Well done.
Thank you.
Very, very good. Because we need it. We didn't know much about it.
Now
in fact, we knew nothing about it.
Now
we knew a lot. The night mouse. Nightmares. What do you reckon? We're going to find one?
Well, I mean, you and I notoriously sleep during the night, and they're nocturnal.
What's the opposite of nocturnal? Dayturnal.
Oh, you had it. You had it.
Eternal.
No,
that's a Marvel movie.
Ah, it is too.
Starring Angelina Jolie in cinema soon. Nath, yesterday we broadcast live from Kingston Beach, and I want to give you a massive round of applause because I went. Go.
Oh, you want to? Yeah.
Those that don't know, Nath has defied sound effects. I need Nath to essentially give himself a round of applause. Before I mention what happened, and it's all anyone's talking about on our Instagram and in real life, people kept stopping me yesterday about you getting the Jeep bogged.
Oh, people were stopping me. I went and dropped my suit off at the dry cleaning. I was in there for about 20 minutes talking Jeep bogging.
I was watching back the Instagram story last night. All the action's still there at Jimmy Nath. There's a Pat. Personal archive tile.
Yeah, private archive tile. Yeah.
Private, sorry.
Yeah.
So we're at Kingston Beach giving away King Island flights accommodation, all expenses paid.
King Brick Council
wearing our King outfits.
Yes.
So that was all you. It was all Nath Hobart.
Continuity,
and
mate. Continuity.
Just a lot of Kings, and I feel like we didn't hammer that home. Then we also played first to King as a card game. And then what do cards have? They have a king, queen, and jack.
You've still got the deck of cards in front of you there, don't you? And you still got them. There we go. Yeah. Not your best. To be fair, we haven't played it in a while.
Oh,
there you go.
I wasn't ready.
Very good.
And so then we had our king, Brick Council Mayor, Paul Reed. Then we had our queen, drag queen, Miss Pussy Poppins. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, I said both bits.
Miss P. Poppins.
And we had our jack, the jack jumper.
Yeah.
So just well done from
king,
everyone
queen,
there.
Jack. Yeah, well done to everyone. Well done to the entire team.
I just don't know if we hammered that home enough yesterday.
There was a bit on.
Was all planned. Something that was unplanned was Nath getting the car bogged.
Mm.
I love where your head's at. You saw a Jeep, take Jeeps anywhere. You saw a beach, you went, drive the Jeep down on a beach.
Isn't that the ad? Isn't that the ad for Jeep? They can drive anywhere. I don't know if that's their tagline. But
Jeep Australia, drive them anywhere.
I thought that was the tagline.
I also could be a VO guy in another life.
That was great.
Thank you.
Good VO.
But look, Nath, he got it bogged, and it was there the whole show because this is before the show. And
well, I just thought I thought it would be cool, again, for continuity and to make things look nice. I was like, why don't we put the branded Jeep there down on the sand next to him? I'm like, how hard can it be? I had to drive it like 20 metres on the sand. I was like, easy as. Wasn't easy as. Didn't pan out the way I thought it was.
No, because later, Imogen from our Fun and Games department jumped in because we were going to get towed out.
Mm.
And then when she jumped in, because no one else had other than you, she went, oh, it's not in four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Put it in four-wheel drive and, well,
didn't know it had four-wheel drive.
This is what happened.
Didn't know it had four-wheel drive.
Thanks, we didn't even need the tow. We didn't even need the tow.
Okay, I loosened it.
You did nothing of the sort.
Yeah, there's a bit of to and fro.
Between you
between
and Imogen.
Me and Imogen.
Oh, you're getting choked up about it.
Yeah, well, because I wanted it to stay there. It looked great on the beach.
It did.
A four-wheel billboard.
Yeah, it looked really nice down there at Kingston. But look, it took all of 2 seconds once Imogen
put
it.
Well, I didn't know you had to put it in four-wheel drive.
No.
Again, Jeeps, take them anywhere.
Jeep Australia,
take
them anywhere.
In brackets, it doesn't need to be in four-wheel drive.
It does need to be in four-wheel drive.
See, that's what the tag... If that was a tagline, then it wouldn't
you
have got
have
bogged.
Known.
100%. Yeah. So, I don't make any apologies.
No, don't. Just live your life.
No apologies.
You did enough. You came up with the game, the name, everything. That was all you, so. Mm.
I am a little bit disappointed that after all the work I put into coming up with the game and the idea that the most traction came from the bogging of the Jeep.
Yeah.
I put a little work into.
I'm going to open our Instagram. I haven't been able to get back to DM, so apologies. But let's have a quick look. Jeep, This is just people reacting. Jeep.
Yeah.
Costumes. Jeep. Image and resharing. Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
Jeep. Costumes.
Okay.
Some guy really into you.
Oh, is that YPR? Yeah, I get a few messages from him all the time. Jeep. Sexy boy.
Jeep. And Jeep.
Okay, yeah, very good.
They're our latest.
Thanks, guys. I'll do things wrong more often, shall I? Alpha Bucks Millionaire. Alpha Bucks. Yeah, that's right. $1 million guaranteed. A listener will win, and there is not long left. You've got to the end of the week to register for Million Dollar Alpha Bucks. Head to the listener app, download it. It is free. That is listener without an E. Search for your boys, Jimmy and Nate. The podcast is there. Fill out the competition entry form. Of course, you play for $1,000 with us. We've got three people who've won that as part of our Tassie team, Jimmy and Nate's Tassie team so far. You then compete in Million Dollar Day, where somebody will win $1 million guaranteed. We can promise you that. This morning, playing from Campbelltown, Kirby's playing. Hi, Kerbs. How are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
Oh, we're all right. Kerbs, how's your morning been?
Not too bad. It's only just beginning, but it's made a hell of a lot better now. I'm so excited.
Oh, stop it, Kirby. You just know what to say to us. Good on you. Just butter us up a little bit. Absolutely. Kirby, $1 million. Any thoughts on what you'd spend that on?
Yeah, all I can think about is Christmas decorations. Like, imagine how many decorations I could get for $1 million.
That's a lot of decorations. Yeah, you can.
100%.
I mean, I don't want to tell you how to spend your money, but
if you just want some Christmas cheer, Kirby. Yeah,
$1 million is a lot.
I've been leaving those up all year.
You can probably spend half on it and you'd still get a lot, but anyway.
Yeah, half on the electricity bill for putting them on. All right, Kirby, let's see what we can do for you. This morning your letter is B, as in B for Bob. Your 30 seconds starts in the first topic I give you. You can pass it. We can come back to that topic if there is time at the end of the 30 seconds. Kirby, are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, Kirby, your first question, beginning with B. Name a cartoon character.
Bugs Bunny.
A Tasmanian suburb.
Brighton.
A sport.
Baseball.
An Eminem song.
Pass.
Famous tennis player.
Pass.
A breed of dog.
Beagle.
A vegetable.
Brussels sprout.
Flavour of ice cream.
Banana.
Mode of transport.
Pass.
ABC Kids show.
Bluey.
Eminem song.
Pass.
Famous tennis player.
Oh, my God.
Well played, Kirby. That was a phenomenal effort.
Yeah, that was great. Bugs Bunny, Brighton, baseball, beagle, Brussels sprouts, bus, Bluey.
You got a bit of a role there, didn't she? An absolute role.
I was like, this is too good to be true.
I thought we might have been on.
Yeah.
Eminem song is quite tough. I've got Berserk in front of me. I don't know if there's any others.
I've never heard of Berserk.
Okay. No, neither have I.
I've never heard of Berserk.
No.
I'm not a big Eminem person, though. Jim's the rap guy, and if Jim's hardly heard of it, then...
I think it's one of his newer songs. And,
I had no chance. I know Cleaning Out My Closet. That's about it.
Famous tenor player, but Atomic or Boris Becker.
Oh, Boris Becker.
Yes. Top of my list.
But, I mean, are you a tennis fan?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, that's,
not at all. Makes it difficult.
I was about to say, top of your list and didn't name it.
I mean, don't want to rub it in. Okay, look, Kirby, unfortunately, we can't give you $1,000, but we will sort you out with $50, all thanks to MyState Bank, the human way to bank. How's that sound?
Oh, that is fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Kirby. You've made our morning. You enjoy the rest of it, okay?
You too. Thank you.
Good on you, Kirby. Oh, it's people like that that I do this for.
Just great people. Apparently, there's a lot of Eminem songs with B. Bad guy, bad meets evil, bad husband, beautiful, believe.
Oh, just to rub it in a little bit. She had about 10 options there. Actually, really good. Probably the easiest question on there. Sorry, Kirby.
Can't believe you got vegetable and didn't get believe.
You got Brussels sprouts, but you didn't get bad girl.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kirby.
All right.
I'm sorry.
On the way for 8 a.m. Are you bad?
I Googled that, by the way. That was an
This is off the top of your head.
I'm not freestyling, as they say in the rap world.
Jim, new research has shown that the human brain apparently is not designed to be good at navigation.
through large cities and is supposed to be bad at directions. So by design, producer Grace here in the studio, by design, the human brain is supposed to be bad at directions. Now, bear with me because it gets a little bit technical in the explanation here. I don't really get it, but I'll do my best. Apparently, humans, when we look at a map, are drawn to sharp, pointy directions to a destination that seem quicker in our mind, but the quicker route isn't always the sharpest route there. So it's called vector-based navigation, essentially. So, I don't know, take that as you will. But essentially, when we look at a map and we go, okay, I've got to go there, we try and look for the quickest way there by looking for the sharpest line there. But it's not always the quickest way there because it doesn't take into account buildings and other streets and on my streets.
We're looking for as the crow flies.
Essentially, as the crow flies.
You're looking for straight lines.
Straight lines is essentially what we're looking for.
Our brain thinks that curvy and stuff is longer.
Yes, correct.
But if you straighten out of curved line, it can sometimes be shorter than
absolutely.
Long line. I don't want to go into it. That's essentially it. Our brain looks at a map and goes, straight lines must be shorter.
Absolutely.
That's just incorrect, guys.
Vector-based navigation is what it's called. Also, the other thing which makes sense, Google Maps has meant that we've been relying on computerized directions and can't naturally figure out what the best option might be. So I want to ask the question, 131060, are you or do you know someone who's bad with directions? Because we're supposed to be bad at directions. According to science, producer Grace. I mean, you put directions in your phone just to get home.
I like looking at the map. I'm so bad at directions. If someone's like, oh, it's east, I'm like, that means nothing to me.
Oh, north, south, east, west confuses me.
Yeah. If someone's like, oh, we have to go here and here's how you do it, you turn left here, I'm like, I have no idea.
Mm.
I don't even listen because I know I'm just going to put in my maps later.
I'm bad with street names, but I'll remember landmarks.
I have no idea what any street names are called. Like, traffic reports mean nothing to me.
What are street names?
Traffic reports mean nothing to me because they're like, oh, there's some traffic on the Brooker. And I'm like, I don't know what that is.
The big bridge. Ah, that one I understand.
Yeah. Traffic's running some of the bridge this morning. You're like, oh, I don't know.
I feel like Jim, I feel like you and I are pretty good with directions. But I'm not a street person. I don't remember streets. I'm not out there in the streets. I like to just to go on based on like images, you know what I mean? Or it's near that petrol station or it's around the corner from the gym, you know what I mean? That's how I work with directions.
I'm awful with names of places again. But I can get there. I'm really good with directions and I'm really good with figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
I always get to places.
I can get there. I'll know the general direction to get general to a direction. Place. Again, I won't know north, south, east, west. That confuses the hell out of me. Why do we need to know that?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't have a compass.
No. I mean, once I'll punch something in maps maybe once to sort of get you sort of
get a bearing.
I do. The reason I do love, I put maps in a fair bit, but not when I'm driving home, Grace.
Grace needs to get
to
the bathroom.
I just like to know what time I'm going to get there.
No. So, if I'm driving to an event or a thing, even a Lonnie, like I know how to get a Lonnie, but I like to punch it in to see what time I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
There might be traffic updates.
Yeah, it's usually pretty spot on in terms of time. But yeah, I'm not punching in when I get home. But I don't know. My old man's amazing. And my mum.
Dad's, for some reason, so good at.
Remembering street names.
Remembering everything. My old man, Grace, you and I, we've discussed this off air. This is the conversations off air, guys. My dad will give directions. He won't give street names, but he'll be like, okay, you'll get to the third pine tree on the right. Turn left. There's a red letterbox and a house with a green roof.
There'll be a dog barking. Yeah. Barks about three times. Yeah. Once it's barked three times, that's when you chuck it right.
Go straight through that. Say hello to Nolene on the side of the road and then you'll get to the post office.
The park, there's a drip and tap. I've chatted to council about it, still haven't fixed it.
And you need to write it all down. Back before you could use Google Maps on your phone, you had to print out the directions.
We were saying the other day, this is before your time, this is before Grace.
Yeah, BG.
Was in a car. I didn't have a phone that had Google. I didn't have a Nokia. Yeah. So you'd have to
print off the directions.
Punch it into Google Maps. Print it off, staple it, highlight the main bits, and I'd have that in my car.
Yeah. I think if I was driving before Google Maps, I just wouldn't be here. But I just...
She started 2 years ago.
No, I would have gotten lost somewhere and, like, I would be... No idea.
131060. Are you or someone you know bad with directions? Because we just discovered that, thanks to science... Of course, always providing the answers to things. Human brains are not designed to be good at directions, which is why a lot of people probably are bad at directions. You and I, we feel like we're not too bad. We don't remember street names, but we kind of remember general directions of things. We can figure it out.
Yeah, no, I remember my street name, Little Jim. Your street name. What's yours? Nate Dole.
Yeah, Nate Dogg.
Nate Dogg. They're our street names.
Nate Dizzy Dogg.
Nate Dogg, Lil Jim.
Dumb, but that was another time.
That was another time.
That was another time. We grew up.
Life comes at you real fast. You got to slow down. You're going to get caught.
Don't mess with the Nate Dogg, though. Still in there.
He's going to bite you.
I'll bite you.
Pow!
Susan from Newtown. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, we're right.
We got a case of the silly, Susan.
Case of the silly, Susan. Susan, you're bad at directions. You know somebody who is?
Yeah, I'm pretty bad at directions. So much so that I once gave a friend the wrong directions to my own house. so that was a bit awkward because I'd lived there for a couple of years. And I told her it was the 2nd Street on the right. And in fact, it was the 3rd Street on the right. So she took the directions, turned into the 2nd Street, and it's like, yeah, I don't think so.
Did they go into? Did she go into the house, the person?
She knocked on the door and then realised, like, I'd given her a dud direction.
Hello, does Susan live here?
is that a one-time thing, Susan? Has that happened?
Yeah, just a one-time thing. I'm pretty good, you know, now.
You don't make that mistake twice.
I'm just like a first street on the right after another street.
So Susan, did you actually get the directions wrong to your place, or did you just not really like this person very much?
No, it was actually a really good friend, but she hadn't been to my place before. It was when I lived in Melbourne and she was down visiting from Sydney.
Melbourne's hard. You know, the streets and you know. I can see where you went wrong, Susan.
Susan, right. You can be honest. If you didn't like the person, you wanted to say. Thank you, Susan. Chloe from Hobart. Chloe, you know somebody who's pretty bad with directions.
Yes, my support worker from college, she took the wrong turn once to Bridgewater from the daycare centre.
Oh, and where did you end up, Chloe?
We were in Bridgewater, but not at the place we were meant to be at.
Oh, okay. How long did it take for you to get...
Because I can't drive because I got bad eyes, so I'm like, you took the wrong turn. She goes, no, I didn't. And I'm like, yeah, you did.
Thank you, Chloe. Jackson from New Norfolk, round things out, Jackson. Are you bad with directions? You know somebody who is?
My sister is.
Your sister is. How bad are we talking, Jacko?
So she was going to a big dinner with a couple of her bosses in the car, and she had Google Maps up, and Google Maps has told her to go right, and she's pointed to go left.
No, that's the opposite.
No, she's gone left. And was she embarrassed, of course, having her bosses in the car, Jackson?
Yes.
Can I say, Jackson, I don't know if it makes your sister feel better, but producer Grace does that all the time. We mentioned earlier that she always has maps on, but it'll say, turn right, up ahead.
Well, Grace has to look at her hands to figure out which one has the L on it.
But it's also really scary when you're in the car with her. She takes both hands off the wheels and goes, left.
Which way? That one. Does your sister do that?
My sister's been told to write L and right on her hands so she knows what way to go.
Grace has to write Jimmy and Nath on our foreheads. In fact, Jimmy, our next guest is quite fancy because I saw him at Freycinet Lodge not long ago.
Must be nice.
God, he's doing all right, this guy.
Bonnerong's doing okay.
Yeah, I know. Old banker on.
What were you doing there?
I was walking past, mate. I was in a tent out the front.
Yeah.
Tell you what, he's doing all right. He came in on a helicopter and everything.
Mm. What did you come in, the Rolls Royce?
I just walked, mate. Walked.
Well, I'll ask him. I'll get his side of the story. Nath, for months, countless concerned citizens of Hobart were reporting about a distressed duck. He'd been known as Stick Duck.
Mm-hmm.
He was a duck seen around the casino on the other side of the Derwent who had a stick in him.
Yeah.
It was inside of him.
This is nuts.
He's finally been caught, rescued, and released. Please welcome friend of the show to tell us a bit more. It's Greg from Bonnerong.
Greggy.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Greg, what was Nath doing at Sapphire?
Mate, look, first thing I want to ask you is about etiquette. If you're at a fancy restaurant, see everyone quite well dressed up and there's just one bloke wearing a hat. Not great etiquette, you'd say, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, not great etiquette.
Would you say? No, absolutely. Nathan, your shorts, your shirt and your hat. Beautiful. Absolutely.
They didn't kick him out, Greggy?
No, mate, look, he got a window seat. I don't know who he knows there, but he's obviously doing a bit of free promo on the side of the show or something.
Must be nice, hey, Greg. Must be nice.
I may have had a hat and shorts on, but you're wearing budgie smugglers, so I don't know how you got...
Mate, I saved up for 4 years for that trip, so I went whenever I like.
Nate just was strolling past and they went, would you like to come in, Mr. Roy? And they said, okay.
Greggy, tell us about Stick Duck, mate. I mean, this is a horrible story with a happy ending. Of course, Stick Duck is back into the wild now. But what happened? We've been hearing rumours about this duck with a stick in it for months now.
Mate, look, absolutely. And the first thing I'll advise you, you've got to be very careful how you say stick duck. Don't say it too quickly or it can be. We've had a few disasters on the phone, I can tell you. But mate, this duck was quite incredible. It was first called through and it was quite a grainy photo. And it looked like it might have been shot with a bow and arrow because it sort of had this great big long stick or arrow sort of stuck straight through the middle of it. And what was really strange is it was sort of down the side of the body pointing upright, so like a telegraph pole. So it was very, very long, but this duck could still fly, which was just astonishing. So after a couple of attempts to catch it, I think it sort of learnt people were trying to catch it. So it was seen all over the place. It was reported everywhere from Howrah down to Kingston, both sides of the river. And, of course, because he was still flying, you know, swimming after a duck isn't a very viable option for our rescuers. So, and flying after the duck is even less of an option. Basically, we just had to keep waiting. And obviously, living in salt water, that had kept the wound nice and clean. So it didn't get infected and just healed around this stick. But I reckon it's been probably 7 or 8 months, maybe more, we've been trying to catch that duck. And, finally it was caught. It was actually a member of public, I believe. I was away. Just tracking Nath, basically, when it comes to sport. So,
we're at the spa in Freycinet Lodge.
Yeah, you do love rescuing wild animals, Greg. Nice of you to look after Nath.
Absolutely. There are rumours it was Nath who threw the stick at the duck in the first place. But, look, it's just quite astonishing that this thing was able to survive for this long. And it was a native duck, a type called a Pacific Black. And it was almost joyous. All the messages going around the Bonnerong staff and the celebrations when this thing was caught was just amazing and just wonderful to see the stick removed. And it was in really good nick and released back to the wild. Just a marvellous result.
Greg, what goes into removing it? Because as you said, I mean, we've got pictures of it here. The duck is fully impaled by this stick.
There's a stick sticking out the back of it.
It's right in the middle of it. What goes into removing a stick from a duck?
Well, it can be really complicated. I mean, as you probably know, if you've done first aid courses, when you've got something stuck in you, it's suggested you don't actually remove it because that's probably stopping bleeding and things going on. So, look, some of them are going to be really difficult to remove if they're touching organs and, you know, in really sensitive spots. Whereas this one, it was just a case of anaesthetic. And I've seen the video of the vet removing it. He just sort of started edging it out and then just out it came. And he celebrated, did a little happy dance. So this one was actually relatively simple. Then it's just, of course, waiting for the wound to heal over, keeping it nice and clean, giving it a good feed. But it was in remarkable body condition, but it was just a matter of time. With something like that, they end up just getting stuck. Like, they might land awkwardly somewhere and the stick gets stuck on something and then they just left there. So it was incredible it lasted this long. It will go down in history as one of our favorite rescues, I reckon. And who doesn't love a duck, you know? Everyone loves saving a duck.
Can I say, Greg, I'll try and say this slowly and carefully. So once the stick was removed, it's now at Bonnerong with a sign that says stick, duck, stick.
That's right, stuck on the wall. Well, mate, my challenge to you is to say stick, duck 10 times quickly. No, but don't do it on the air.
I'll do it at Freycinet when I get the invite.
You can pull up a table to me and Greg if you want.
Oh, no. You've got the front window seat. Greg's stuck at the back.
Oh, mate, they said to us, oh, we can grab you guys a shared table as you like. And I remember thinking, gee, I've got to think quick on my feet here and make an excuse. I came up with something. Can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I can't sit down. There's a stick in me.
Mate, stuck a stick in you. Greg stuck a stick in his leg.
Greggy, I need the room. We bloody love you, mate. Thanks for giving us the update on the famous stick duck again. I'll say that nice and slowly.
Stick duck, stick duck.
Great
stick duck,
result. Well done for Bonnerong, of course, doing phenomenal work. Massive round of applause to you and the team, Greg. This is, once again, a great result and all the fantastic work that you guys do at Bonnerong. Good on you, Greg.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Mate, thank you, buddy. Cheers.
Want more Jimmy and Nath? Download the Hit app. This is the show. Want more access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.